Welcome to the Gunnersville Grassroots Podcast presented by Frog Talks. I'm your host, Pat Kennemer. I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Trey Swindle, who has not run off to other parts of the world fishing much yet, but it's coming.
It's coming.
Today is February the 20th, 2023. Spring seems to be a few weeks early. Trees are blooming. I have been sneezing for the last week. Yesterday was miserable. I think it's coming early, don't you?
Yeah, I think it is. When stuff starts blooming outside, you can go ahead and bet it's coming.
There's red buds and all kinds of different trees, and that's what's had me sneezing and itching and this or that. So today we're going to do a little bit different. We just finished up the Toyota series that lost a day due to crazy weather. Probably been better off fish that day than the second day, but you never know. Instead of having the boater side winner, we're going to have the co-angler winner, a guy named Alan Holtz. He has won like $380,000 from the back of the boat. I thought it'd be interesting to have a different perspective.
Change it up a little.
I mean, absolutely no disrespect to Griffin Heffington, who whipped the entire field of 259 other anglers. By 10 pounds.
Yeah, I was about to say, old-fashioned beatdown.
Yeah. Now, he won on a bridge.
Imagine that in February.
Using live scope around shad. And
I would be willing to bet it was on an Alabama reel.
That's what he said. And that was one reason I decided not to go out to call him, because I'm sure he would have been a great person to have on. But he said in his interview at the weigh-in that he caught 7 fish on Friday and 5 bass and 2 drum on Saturday.
That's usually how bridge fishing goes. It ain't hot. You sit there all day and get 5 bites, and if you lose one, most of the time you messed up. You're going to end up with 4.
So if you want to go get 5 or 6 big bites a day, go fight the crowd on a bridge. He apparently had something figured out. He was live scoping them. I'm personally just sick of hearing about bridges and live scope and winning tournaments. Yep. And it's not going away.
Yeah, I mean, like the Bassmaster Elite Series on Okeechobee. I mean, we're at Okeechobee.
And they're live scoping.
Yeah, and the average depth of that place is 8 feet. And it got one out of 20 feet and one in the Kissimmee River on a jerkbait with live scope.
Changes it. Changes the game. You're playing that game, so you better be good at it.
Yeah, we'll figure that out later on the season.
Well, you went somewhere last year. You said they were running from you on live scope.
They tend to do that everywhere I go. They just run from me regardless.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Well, you catch a fish, or you or Luke or somebody caught one or two somewhere, but that was probably on one of them little LOB jigs or whatever it is he's got. The little old tray jig. For the weather, they caught them pretty good in the Toyota series. I do believe that first day, if they'd have got to fish, other than the wind was blowing out of southwest pretty bad. And you know what happens. I can assure you TVA had the current going, sucking it down ahead of the rain. Mm-hmm. And a good old southwest wind makes them stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd have been a little bumpy out there.
But I think it would have changed the game a little bit, because everything got muddy. A lot of people got blown out by mud or grass, which the grass is just every day.
That's just typical.
One guy said you got to have 20 different spots because there'll be people on 10 of them and grass on 5.
Yep.
You know, and
more like grass on 9.
Nine.
You're going to end up with 1.
Right. And it depends on which way the wind's blowing. So, but, you know, there was, what did I say? We had day one. 260 boats, 11 bags over 20 pounds. Day two, they didn't have it broke out that way. I had to look at it and count them, so I might have messed up. But around 9 on day two. And 29 bags over 18 on day one. So, you know, there was some pretty solid fish being caught, which is what I've seen tagging fish.
Yeah, well, I'll say I went on last Monday, and I mean, it wasn't great. I didn't just catch a bunch, but the fish that I caught were – I could see where most people would have 18, because they were 3 to 4 pounds, you know, 3.5, 3.75, just chunks. So I could see where if you catch a limit, it's probably going to weigh pretty good, you know, this time of the year.
There was a lot of the locals didn't do that good.
Yeah.
Johnny Patterson, Jim Leary, Josh Butler, not the MLF Josh Butler, but the local Josh Butler. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a bunch of those guys just had 2 or 3 a day, but – sometimes that home lake advantage will hurt you.
Yeah, it will. It'll get you, especially, too, when it floods and stuff. Like, you know, it'll get in your head when it's at your home lake. I've done it. Been there, done that. Wore the T-shirt.
Probably do it again. But maybe not here in a couple of weeks. A few weeks, you got the ABT here. Is that right? It's the 18th or something,
I think. I got the Open at Eufaula next week. I leave Friday. And then the week, maybe 2 weeks after that, I have the ABT here, March 18th.
We'll touch on that Eufaula here in a little while. I want to hear a little bit more about your that'll fish a little bit like Gunnersville, maybe.
Yeah, so, maybe.
we're going to have Mr. Holtz on here in just a few minutes. I just want to ask him a little bit. I mean, it may be something as simple as, hey, I got lucky and drew some guys and rode around with a chatterbait and happened to catch some good ones, which is what it takes. But I'm going to tell you what, if you've won $383,000.
Well, I think it's good to have him on, because I think a lot of people that probably listen to this podcast, and I know a lot of guys personally that, you know, they don't necessarily have the money to fish as a boater, so they all fish as a co-angler, and then they all talk about how hard it is. And obviously, this guy's either just real lucky or he's got something figured out. And he might tell you it's all luck, but I don't know. Winning almost $400,000 out of the back of the boat, I'd say he's got a little something figured out.
I'd say so. Hey, it looked like Uncle G was real close to that top 10.
Yeah, he was real close. He finished 11th, but I think he was a little happy he didn't have to go out there, and he got a head start going to Seminole. So that's what I called him, and he's like, I said, is that unlucky or lucky? And he said, I didn't have a shot to win. And he said, I finished as high as I could without making the cut. So I think that's a good day. I'll just go ahead.
He was happy.
Yeah, because he said, man, to be completely honest, I didn't have a shot to win. I might have gained two or three places.
Too big a gap.
But he's like, here's the thing. I'm getting older. I'm tired. Now I can take a day to rest, travel. Yeah, get ahead of everybody, because those 10 guys got to stay another night and then drive to Seminole and then start practice without rigging up rods. So he said, I've already got my rods rigged up. We're going to leave in the morning and rest all day tomorrow and start Sunday.
So I saw on Instagram he's doing these ice baths to help recover. Have you been in that yet?
I used to do them in high school, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you got big enough kahunas to do it, I'm telling you,
it ain't big when you get out.
No, there ain't none when you get out, much less big. But I'm telling you, it does help. But I can't. No, I'm not man enough to do that. I'm not old enough yet either. Maybe when I start hurting a little more, I'll do it. But no, it ain't worth it right now.
Not yet. You wake up sore, shake it off, go fishing.
Yep.
Well, we're gonna see if we can get a hold of Mr. Holtz, and I may be butchering his name. I've talked to him briefly, but there is a chance I'm saying it wrong. But we're gonna see if we can get a hold of him and talk a little bit about his time here at Gunnersville and see what he's got to say. We've got Alan Holtz on here with us. Alan was the co-angler winner for the Toyota Series this past weekend. Probably got a little cold. And Alan, you're from Mississippi, is that right?
Yes, we're right down on the coast, down in Goche.
Oh, so this was real cold weather for you South people.
Yeah, it was definitely. I think it was cold for everybody up there.
Oh, ain't no doubt. But first off, congrats on winning. That was, you had a pretty good size bag the second day, didn't you? 22 something or something like that?
Yeah, it was 22.15, actually. It was more than what I thought I had.
Well, you know, sometimes you just take what you can get. Did you beat your boater that day?
I did. It was, you know, it's one of them deals. I'm sure y'all fish enough of them know it seemed like that. You know, he'd get a keeper bite, and then I'd catch a big one, and then he'd get another keeper bite, and I'd, you know, caught a big one. So it's just, I've been on the other end of that many, many times too. So
I think Trey had that happen to him somewhere.
I've had that happen. It tends like the boater will pick the male off, and then by the time it gets to him, the co-angler catches the big one. It just seems like it just ain't your day.
So.
Yeah.
So are you fishing the entire trail? Did you come up here just to fish this, or?
No, I'm fishing all of the Southern and all of the Central Division.
Oh wow. Okay. So.
And Dardanelle. I'm going to Dardanelle too.
Okay. So you have had a pretty illustrious career for a co-angler. The MLF thing shows $383,999. Now that's a unique number, but and I guess that includes the boat. You won a boat this weekend?
Yep, sure did. Yeah, so it's been a pretty good ride so far.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, tell us a little bit. Let's just start with it. Supposed to start on Thursday. Started on Friday. Did you practice any?
Yeah, I did. I usually don't, but I guess a common friend of a friend, Jacob Walker, down at Mark's Outdoors in Birmingham.
Uh-huh.
He had needed somebody to link up with. So he had called me, and I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." So I didn't link up with anybody. And he said, "Look," he said, "if you want to come up and practice," he said, "oh, just come up and practice with me." So I said, "Shoot, yeah." I said, "I'll do that." I normally don't, but it definitely helped. We practiced. I got in the boat with him Tuesday afternoon, and we fished. Well, actually, right before lunch, we fished till almost dark, and then Wednesday morning, we fished about a half a day, and he had the foot went out on his motor, so he had to come in early. But we got, you know, two good full half days in.
So tell us a little bit about what you were doing to catch them, and did you catch them pretty good in practice?
No, actually, I mean, in practice, I covered up all my hooks.
You weren't trying to hook them. Yeah.
And that's the first time I fished with Jacob, you know, so I was, you know, you always try to feel somebody out, see what they want to do. And I think he was glad that I wasn't trying to catch him, you know, because, mm-hmm. I mean, I figured the bites were going to be few and far between just looking at the weather ahead. So I think that was a good move, you know, I think it helped him too by not trying to hook any of them. And then, like on, you know, the rattle traps and crankbaits I was throwing, I just cut the hooks off of them. So had a few hits. I probably had, I don't know, four hits each day, five hits each day, you know, for those half days.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then he was having some good hits too. So,
yeah. So you knew you wasn't going to catch 25 or 30 a day anyway, right?
No, I don't ever go anywhere expecting to catch 25 or 30 a day.
So who'd you draw out with first day? Do you remember their name? I didn't look.
Yeah. On the first day I fished with Cody Nichols. I think he was from Alabama, I believe. And of course it was nasty. You know, it was blowing and sleeting a little bit off and on. And it was really a struggle. I don't think we had a hit that morning until it was maybe 9 or 9:30 when we both caught one about the same time. And then it really got to blowing, and he started moving around some. And I ended up catching two more, kind of mid-lake. And then we went all the way down by a honeycomb, and I caught another one. And then we ran back up the river up there to one of those big flats where he was fishing, and he caught three right there before we checked in. But, and they were all real good fish, especially the ones he was catching. I think he had four that weighed right at 16 pounds.
What was he catching them on?
He caught them on a chatterbait, and he caught them on a rattle trap.
So you were fishing, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 foot of water?
That's about, yeah, probably I would say 3 to 6 foot probably most of the time.
And y'all rode the honeycomb in that wind and back?
In a bullet.
Ooh.
That's even worse.
It was choppy.
Yeah.
It was choppy. I mean, it was choppy on everybody, but he took it. He didn't get in a hurry, that's for sure. He was real safe and got us down there and got us back, you know.
Hope you had on a good Frog Togs rain suit of some kind. Cause,
I sure did, yeah. I was pretty dry.
It's hard to stay dry when the wind's blowing like it was Friday.
Oh, I know it. Yeah.
So you ended up, what did you have first day? 15, 16 pounds, something like that?
No, I only had like 13. I think I had 13. Four to weigh 13 pounds, yeah. I thought that was really going to hurt me, you know, because I did have a couple more opportunities there. I missed some. I didn't really have anything hooked, but I did miss some. And I said, boy, you know, tough as it is, it's going to come back to get me. But luckily it did.
Yeah, no kidding. That worked out pretty well. So when you woke up Friday, that days are all messed up on me. When you woke up Saturday, you didn't know you were going to go win, did you? You didn't, I mean, did you, had
oh,
you talked to?
No, well, in fact, you know, my wife, she travels with us, you know, and, She's always real positive. I said, well, I said, I think it's going to be a real tough day. I said, well, I'm just going to try to, you know, just catch a couple, hopefully. And, but man, luckily right after we started, I actually caught two pretty quick. Of course, the way the ice was on the ramp, the line was backed up really bad. So we actually had two fish in the boat and there was still people waiting to launch. It was just one of them deals. Got lucky and caught a couple early.
Yeah, didn't sound like you ran very far. If you could see them,
we were right there around that next creek down Mink Creek.
Right
down
right.
Around Mink Creek.
Yeah, was it pretty crowded up that way? Was the water muddy? What did it look like?
It definitely got well. I tell you, from the first day where Cody and I started up the river from Goose Pond there, when we started, it was. I would say stained a little bit, but it still looked really good. and we went down to Honeycomb and then came back up there, and it had dirtied up a lot, you know, just in those, you know, 6 hours we were gone, 5 or 6 hours, it had changed up quite a bit. But yeah, I'd say the water was stained, you know, right there around, you know, the mid lake, but it wasn't muddy. I wouldn't have called it muddy.
What water temps were you seeing? Or did you even look?
To be honest, I never even looked, but the guys were saying it was like 51 to 53 is what they were saying.
That's what I saw yesterday when I got out for a bit. And then Sunday, did y'all run very far? I mean, I know you said you had a couple while people were still putting their boats in on the ice rink over there.
Oh, yeah. No, Saturday we started. In fact, we never went. Yeah, we never went much below waterfront down there, I don't think. I'm not real familiar with all the places, but we didn't get more than 10 miles, I don't think, away from the ramp.
That's my kind
of
day.
That guy, Jeff Knight is who I fished with the second day, and he had fished a lot of tournaments up there, sound like, you know, we'd go somewhere and he said, oh yeah, I caught a 7-pounder here, I caught a 6 and a 5 here, and he had a lot of confidence in, you know, the places we were going, so that gave me a lot of confidence, and he was real easy to fish behind. He fished slow, so he wasn't in a hurry, so it made it easy on me.
Did he get upset when you kept catching the big ones?
If he did, he didn't show it, but, you know.
It's got to hurt a little.
That's one thing. One thing I've learned about fishing out of the back of the boat is I always try to help whoever I'm fishing with. So I'm not fishing against.
Right. You're just there to have a good time and beat the people in the back of the other boats. So how does a fellow win $383,999 out of the back of a boat?
Well, one of those actually was out of the front of the boat. I fished them. We'd done really good at U-Fall a few times. We had opportunity to go up there and fish out in front of the boat back in 2010 for FLW Eastern Series. So I put my money in, you know, out of the front, just trying to get my money back, and ended up somehow winning that thing. So,
wow.
But I accepted that one turn.
You've been playing the game for a minute.
Yeah, I have. It's just being persistent, you know, just putting a lot of time in on the water. And I think the good Lord's blessed me with, you know, some talent, and just try to have fun doing it.
Yeah, for those that are listening, we got a lot of guys that are probably fishing as co-anglers around us. If you don't care, you know, obviously you did have one win out of the front of the boat, but you've had a lot of success out of the back of the boat. And fishing out of the back of the boat behind guys, especially pros, you know, like the Toyota Series or the Bassmaster Opens, it's not easy. A lot of them guys really can fish. Do you care to tell the listeners and tell us, you know, a little bit of maybe – if you've got something figured out of the back, or do you just kind of do you, or do you have any secrets, you know, to help some guys fishing out of the back of the boat? If you don't want to tell, that's okay, but.
Oh, no, it's nothing. It's nothing like a bait. It's not a secret bait or anything, but, and y'all know from fishing tournaments is you can make it as easy or as hard on the guy out of the back of the boat as you want to. You can go either way with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one thing I've always done is, you know, first off, I try to help them any way that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And once they see I'm not, you know, throwing in front of them and, you know, trying to fish the same thing they're fishing, or if they miss one, throw up there and try to catch it, you know, and it takes a little time, but I think once people see that you're not going to mess them up, then, you know, they'll go out of their way sometimes to help you out. And it's happened to me a lot of times, you know, where I've been fishing, even with people sight fishing, you know, just be patient, and there'll be some point during the day, and when I'm going, you know, come up on a fish, it's not going to help them. It's, here, catch this one right here. It's easy to catch, you know, and you might pick up a 2-pounder or, you know, pound and a half for that.
Right.
Help them. So,
for sure. Yeah.
I think a lot of it's just attitude.
Get back what you give.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I fish the opens as a boater, and that goes a long ways with me, too. I think, you know, the first things first is respect. You know, like you said, show them you're not fishing, you know, you're not trying to hurt them. You're not casting over them or trying to take away fish from them. And I always tell all my guys, like, I'm just upfront and honest, and I say, look, if you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. Once I get my five, I'll do everything I can to get your – you know, you, your three. I've let fish jump over my frog and not swing so my co-angler can throw in the blowhole. But he was super nice, never cast it in front of the boat. So I think that's good advice. And also, I think the one thing that I've noticed that co-anglers do out of the back of my boat that I've seen that really, and I've tried to help them and tell them, and I think it might help them from, you know, you saying it if you agree with me, but I think one of the mistakes I see most people make is they want to throw the same thing I'm throwing. And I mean, I'm not trying to be Kevin Van Dam here, act like I am, but I'm just saying, like, it's the chances of him biting your chatterbait behind me are really slim. You know, if you if you're throwing a rattle trap behind me and I'm throwing a chatterbait, but most of my co-anglers that I have, if I'm throwing a buzzbait, they throw a buzzbait. If I sit down and tie on a crankbait, they tie on a crankbait. And I'm like, man, it just don't, you need to throw something different behind them.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, even these, like the past 2 days up here at Gunner's Hill, you know, there was times we were throwing the same bait, but it may be different colors. You know, I never definitely didn't throw the same color they were throwing.
And I think even if you are throwing the same thing, you know, which Gunner's was a little different because it's a lot of grass flats, you know, and there's fish everywhere. So it's a little different at Gunner'sville than it would be, you know, going down the bank somewhere. But at the same time, even at Gunner'sville, you can be throwing the same thing, but you can work it slower because you're not having to run the trolling motor or hold the boat in the wind or worry about boat control.
Oh,
so you can throw behind the boat and just slowly yo-yo a rattle trap where he's having to burn his because he's fighting waves and stuff. So I think no matter what you do is you just kind of try to be different out of the back. Sounds to me like that's kind of how you've made your career out of the back of the boat.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. There's very, very few times that I try to imitate what the guy in the front's doing. I mean, of course, there are times when they want, you know, one particular thing, and you just have to, you know, buckle down and just say, well, I'm either going to bite the bullet and take my chances and throw what I'm throwing, or swap over and try to get one or two with what they're throwing.
Right. Hope for some leftovers. So you weighed in 9 fish. What'd you catch them on? Colors and sizes.
I caught all of my fish on the chatterbait, all the ones that I weighed in. I had some hits on, you know, a jig, and I had some hits on a rattle trap, but all the ones that I weighed in was either on a 3/8 or a 1/2 ounce, either a black and blue or a Bruce green pumpkin chatterbait.
Like a jackhammer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think that's the only chatterbait they make.
Does anybody throw anything else?
Might as well fork out $20.
I believe there's times when the like the Thunder Cricket is a better option if you need something more subtle, because it definitely don't have as much thump as the jackhammer. So I mean, there's times, you know, even here just around the house, that I'll throw the Thunder Cricket just so it don't thump as much.
Oh, for sure. I think that Thunder Cricket, too, I think people don't give it credit, but I think you can reel it a whole lot faster than you can a jackhammer. I know you can because I've thrown both, but yeah, you can reel that Thunder Cricket real
it'll
fast.
It'll stay down. It'll stay down.
Yeah, jackhammer's just such a wide wobble. It's not real wide, but it's wider the way the blade works, and it'll just go crazy if you reel it fast. But that Strike King one, it's that Thunder Cricket, it stays straight, and it runs true. Like, you can burn it.
Right, if you need to just a troop faster reaction.
Yep.
Had you fished Gunner'sville before?
I have. I've fished probably, I don't know, maybe half a dozen times. I actually was up there last November in the championship, and I fished this same tournament last year in February. That was the two most recent times I've been up there.
Okay, yeah. So you've seen floods and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah, yep,
But, well, Alan?
I like it. It's a beautiful area.
I guess you're got a boat for sale.
I do. I got a certificate for sale. That's for sure.
Boat certificate for sale, and it was for
It's a 518 Pro with a 115. I think the Pro XS on it.
Pro XS. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I just ordered a Gator Tracks there about 2 months ago, so that'll help cover a pretty good chunk of that Gator Tracks.
That's right.
So, yeah, you probably won't have any time selling. It's a good time of year to win a boat. Everybody's wanting one. So, and I'm sure somebody's give you a low ball offer on it now. So,
you know, somebody said, well, you've won it. You didn't pay nothing for it. So why can't you sell it to me for $15,000?
Yeah, I'll give you $15,000 for it right now.
You should do that. I'm your buddy. You got a bunch of them buddies, don't you, Ben Carl?
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite. Yep. I'm like, yeah. You a buddy. I don't like them buddies.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Alan, I can't thank you enough. Hopefully this is your information, just got, you know, something a little different. We hadn't had a co-angler on before, thought we'd give it a shot. And seems like you've had some pretty good success, and I wish you a whole lot of success in the rest of them.
Well, fellas, I sure do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Trey, I think that was a pretty good deal there. You had a little different perspective,
yeah.
Back of the boat.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Like I said, I think I don't know, but I'm sure we have a lot of people listening that do fish as a co-angler or interested.
Even if you're fishing with your buddy in the back of the boat.
Yeah, I liked his perspective on it. And I mean, you know, like I said, I don't fish as a co-angler, but if I was going to listen to anybody, it'd probably be the guy that's won almost $400,000 out of the back of somebody's boat. I think he'd give some pretty good advice, and I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually went fishing for almost 3 hours yesterday in between various problems that I'm trying to solve. I've got battery issues, electrical issues. All it takes is money to fix it, right?
Yeah, that's all it takes.
And, I mean, we were talking about that off the air. All it takes is money.
Yeah.
Water was starting to clear up a little bit. It was windy yesterday afternoon, and I was planning on fishing till dark, and I had some trailer light issues that were 100% my fault.
Uh-huh.
And so I left before dark. But ran to the back of a creek, found a mud line, started clearing up, caught a half dozen fish in 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then went looking all over the place for some more of that and didn't find it.
Never found it.
But I caught them all on chatterbait.
Yep.
And I did catch one other fish, about 3 pounds on a little square bill, only about a head. But, you know, things you're supposed to be throwing. And they were all pretty shallow. Water was 51, 53, you know, mm-hmm. like he said. And that was on the lower end. Throw a chatterbait, square bill, crankbait, rattletrap. You know,
I mean, this time at Guntersville, if you want to know how to catch them, you tie you on a chatterbait on 16-pound line and a rattletrap on 16-pound line and a square bill on 12-pound line, and you just go fishing.
That's what I did.
Just go to the grass and just go fishing.
I was actually going to go try to find some crappie. I'm not a crappie fisherman. I don't know much about it, but I got this little live scope thing that I don't use much because mm-hmm. I just don't, or not this time of year as much. Apparently that's a thing now.
Yeah.
Anyway, and one of the screws on my mount had come loose, and of course it was not staying lined up right, mm-hmm. and it was an Allen head, and I did not have the right tools with
Never
me.
Never had so, what you need.
So
you
I pulled out a chatterbait, and I went bass fishing.
Yep, so, that's right.
I just wanted to go see if I could figure out how to catch a crappie on a live scope. I've never done it. Everybody says, man, that's the greatest thing ever made for that.
I guarantee you. Obviously, I have it on my boat for bass fishing, but I guarantee you that is a crappie killer. When you get under bridges and stuff, I bet it is a crappie killer.
The couple that I went by was still pretty muddy right there, mm-hmm. and that was another thing. Like, you know, I went under one small bridge, and man, there wasn't even much stuff, much bait on it. But the water looked like Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably blew all them shad to Wheeler. Probably down there. Angles Harbor.
You know, the water was actually going the wrong way under that bridge when I went under it yesterday.
Really?
It was. Now, I don't know if that was the 30-mile-an-hour wind making it do it
because
it was a tad breezy. But it was nice to get out and actually go fishing and feel a little better talking about fishing when I've actually been.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the next time I get to go, I'll have my things put back together where I can actually spend a few hours out there.
That's right. I'm going to try to sneak out. I got to go get my boat serviced. I told you that after we get all done with this, but I got to get in and I got to get the boat ready for you fall. I leave Friday, but I'm going to try to sneak out to Guntersville one day before I leave and go. Monday was the first time I had been in, I don't know when. I forgot how fun it was just to catch some good fish, you know?
Hey, and you know what I didn't see? And it was just purely luck.
What is it?
Floating eelgrass.
Really?
No. I saw floating milfoil and hydrilla and little pieces of it. But, I mean, I'm sure it was there. It was just blown to the other side or something.
Yeah.
But now I was towards the back of a creek, so maybe it just wasn't as bad there yet. Give me a minute. It'll be 6 inches under the surface in another week because spring is in the air, my friend.
It is.
Speaking of which, March 1st is just right around the corner. March 1st is the official kickoff to fishing season, it seems like. Bass Cash Bash kicks off March 1st. Don't be that guy, Trey.
Are y'all doing that at Eufaula this year?
No.
Not Eufaula.
No, he dropped Eufaula. There was some participation issues. And
I was about to say, that area is kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. It, I don't know the whole story on that.
I've been down there. No judgment here, but it don't look like much fishermen, other than the tournaments that come down there.
Right.
You know, it just don't seem like it's
doesn't
much.
Draw the crowd.
Don't draw a big crowd. It used to, you know, when it was a really, really good lake, but I think it's coming back, but it's just not much. You see some crappie fishermen.
In Alabama, we have Guntersville, which this will be our, I think, fifth year. And then he calls it the Lower Coosa, and I don't know all the lakes, but it starts, is Neely above Logan or is Logan above Neely? You don't know
it's
it. Neely, Logan.
No, it's Neely, Logan.
Neely, Logan, Jordan, Lay, Mitchell, maybe? Does that sound right? So he treats that kind of like one big lake. He's got them spread out down there. And there's actually two boats at a truck down there, I think. Yeah. Now, I don't remember the video. I think he put the release videos out last night. He was in Alabama last weekend, PD was, and started down there, worked his way up, and then came to me, went to Wilson Pickwick, and then came to me. So you got the Layla or the Coosa River stuff. You've got Pickwick and Wilson, which are treated as one lake. There's a boat tag on Pickwick. They let it go on video at Waterloo Ramp, I think. Uh-huh. The boat tag this year was let go at the Point of Pine Island. I'm talking about on the point.
On the point.
And you can turn around. There's a million places for it to go. Yep. So who knows? And then the truck tag was let go kind of out between the River Bridge and Signal Point out in front of City Harbor.
Uh-huh.
And it was windy that day.
Yeah. I mean, so he's probably down there around Angles Harbor, too. So if you're looking for the truck tag.
Easy now. No.
It hadn't got blew down.
It hadn't flooded like that. So, I mean, you know a guy that caught one.
Yeah, I know.
Not that far from there.
I know the fella that caught one not too far from there.
It had boat in it, though.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I finished tagging. Weekend before last, the guys at Mud Creek had a tournament, had a pile of fish for me. Mm-hmm. I tagged at Mud Creek, put fish in the live wells, carried them to three or four different ramps. And then on Sunday, the guys at Roseberry, I finished up right there. And we had our video, we shot our videos, I think, on that Sunday. Mm-hmm. And it was cold and windy. And PD's from Louisiana. And he said, man, this is crazy. Having to put on long sleeves is cold. But anyway, that starts March 1st. Don't be that guy. It's $80 with the bonus T-shirt, which makes the $1,000 worth $1,500.
Yep.
It also makes all prior year's tags worth $500. I think I had 10 prior year tags call last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll take $500.
I'll take $500. And they're just going to hand it out. You know?
Yeah. And if you fish Coosa and Pickwick and Wilson for another $20, for $100, you get all lakes.
What color's the tags
purple.
This year? Purple.
They are purple. Probably slimy green in about another month.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. I'll go ahead and warn you guys. If y'all are up here and you're fishing and you sign up, make sure to look because they'll get moss on them and you can't hardly see them. Now, some of them are fresh. They won't have anything on them. But it just depends. I don't know if it's where they live, if they live in the grass, if some of that stuff. I don't know. But some of them will be clear and some of them will have junk growing on them and you can't hardly see it. So Daniels, that he caught the boat tag, actually was covered in stuff. Now, you could clearly see there was something on it, but we had to, well, he could. He was shaking so bad he couldn't, but I had to wipe it off and read it to him.
Starting that first week, this coming weekend, there wasn't a whole lot going on that I remember. And honestly, the first couple of weekends in March are not, other than high school tournaments, and seemed like there was the kayak. The Honeycomb Wildcat starts up first weekend in March. That's like a staple for Gunnersville. The other afternoon stuff doesn't start till the time changes, and I hadn't looked at that date yet. That first weekend on the 4th of, I believe it's the 4th of March, that first Saturday, there are two different kayak tournaments. You know, they can say they're out of Goose Pond or wherever, but they're kayak tournaments. They go wherever. Yeah. So watch out for the small boats. If they're two different ones, you can find all the tournament information at the Bass and Big G website, bassandbigg.com. There's a UNA fundraiser. There's a little winter series some guys have been putting on out of All Reds that I think wraps up then. They may have a classic. I'm not sure. And, when you look at the results, the stuff that's been going on, you catch 20 pounds right now. And the way the conditions have been up and down, I mean, clearly the gentleman that won the Toyota Series caught 25 a day-ish, or 26 even. But, 20 pounds has been upper 19s, low 20s has pretty much been the standard. That's just because Trey hadn't been fishing.
Yeah, y'all better watch out.
Yeah.
I'm 5 months not going on Gunnersville, but here I come, coming in hot.
Sometime. Well, you got the ABT. That'll be about the second or third weekend in March.
Karma's going to get me, and I'm going to lose every bass.
Okay, it'll make it snow.
Yeah, it probably will, and they'll go from choking a chatterbait to biting a shad rat.
I don't know. Gunnersville fish eat in the snow.
They really do. All fish around here eat in the snow. I think it's just because they ain't seen it. I don't know. They think Santa Claus is coming.
Yeah, I don't know. So, you know, things are going to – you think they're going to change a lot in the next couple of weeks? You think it's going to stay the same? It's supposed to be 80 Thursday.
I mean, some people might disagree with me, but I'm telling you, I think the weather coming, you're finna see them start spawning. I think the next couple of weeks, you're going to see them laying everywhere.
Upriver.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. It all, you know, normal. Well, typically, it starts upriver. You never know. Well, it always changes. But I'm telling you, I mean, it's going to be in the 80s, like, all week.
And more importantly, the lows are going to be in the high 50s.
High 40s, yeah, low 50s. Yeah. Some nights, it ain't going to get below like
55. I hadn't looked. When the next full moon probably be a couple weeks.
Yeah, which I got to make sure I don't get confused, because I have been looking at Eufaula, because that's where I'm going. But, yeah, it's going to be warm. I'm telling you, water temps are already in the 50s. Stuff's blooming. It's coming.
You know what else comes when it's 80 degrees in February and March?
What's that?
Tornadoes.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Right around my birthday is usually when I'm going to keep it PG-13 and say crap hits the fan.
Yeah.
Right around March 29th when my birthday.
March 29th, you'll be old enough to drive then.
Yeah, yeah. My mom won't have to bring me here no more.
Wait, I've been wanting to do this.
Yep, yep.
I've been saving every.
Baby face tray.
Yeah.
Yep.
23, is that right?
Yep, 23.
23, getting on up. You might get some gray hair in that flow you got going.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you. I'm going to go get it cut tomorrow.
He said that last time he was here, and old girl likes that hair.
Yeah, my girlfriend likes the long hair. She did say that it was starting to get a little too much. Looked like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, but hey, I kind of like Shaggy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. For all you listening, can't thank you enough. Please like, share, leave reviews. All those things help other people find us. Until then, Trey is going to wander off to Eufaula and be back on Gunnersville. And enjoy the floating grass. Have a great week.